Hello, this is Ann Weller with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I will be sharing nutrition information with you. This information is selected from the Nutrition Action Health Letter, a publication of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, which is based in Washington, D.C. The Center for Science in the Public Interest was founded in 1971 by three scientists who wanted to apply their academic training to the solving of social problems. It conducts innovative research and programs in health and nutrition, and it provides consumers with current information about their health and well-being. An independent, nonprofit consumer health group, the center promotes honest food labeling and advertising, safer and more nutritious foods, and pro-health alcohol policies. The work of the Center for Science in the Public Interest is supported by Nutrition Action Health Letter subscribers and by foundation grants. It, however, accepts no government or industry funding. And Nutrition Action Health Letter, which was first published in 1974, accepts no advertising. The following edition of Nutrition News is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. Today's broadcast focuses on dietary supplement claims. In the July-August 2010 issue of Nutrition Action Health Letter, senior nutritionist David Shart presents a report entitled Claims Adjustment, Why You Should Be Wary of Supplement Advertisements. If only you could take enough of the right kind of supplements, you would not have to worry about high cholesterol, colds or other infections, failing memory, feeling run down, or even thinning hair or brittle nails. And if you're a woman, you could cross breast cancer off of your list of things to fear. At least that's what you might conclude from looking at supplement packages and websites. Most of those claims, however, are not backed by anything close to solid evidence. So here are some of the prime offenders. DrWhitaker.com sells garlic cholesterol health pills in its Heart Health Center. Ads for garlic pills are all over the radio. Garlic is one of the best-selling botanical supplements. Yet the herb failed to lower cholesterol in all four of its U.S. trials. In the latest and most thorough clinical study, Stanford University researchers gave 192 men and women with high LDL or bad cholesterol levels, and that is equivalent to 130 to 190. They gave them one of the following: twice the dose of Garlison garlic powder, twice the dose of Garlison garlic powder pills recommended on the label, 1.5 to 3 times the recommended dose of aged garlic extract, or daily sandwiches that contained crushed cloves of raw garlic, or placebo pills. The results were hugely disappointing, says lead researcher Christopher Gardner. What the volunteers were consuming made absolutely no difference to their LDL levels at any time during the six-month study. Nothing worked, says Dr. Gardner. We thought that if anything was going to, the real garlic would work. The lack of effect was compelling and clear. Earlier studies of garlic pills and cholesterol by researchers at Stanford, Yale, and the University of California at Berkeley also came up empty. Garlic could be a cancer fighter, says Dr. Gardner. Garlic could be a blood pressure lowerer. It could be an anti-inflammatory agent. But in each of those areas, it needs to be subjected to the same kind of rigorous clinical trial that we conducted with cholesterol. So the bottom line, don't count on garlic to lower your cholesterol. Centrum Performance, quote, helps unlock your energy with higher levels of B vitamins, or so says the company's website. Adding a B vitamins for energy claim is one of the cheapest ways for companies to make their supplements, their energy drinks, energy bars, breakfast cereals, and chocolate energy candy chews to stand out. It's true that our bodies need small amounts of thiamine, or B1, riboflavin, or B2, niacin, B3, pantothenic acid, and vitamin B6 to help oxidize glucose, or blood sugar, to produce energy. Now, this energy refers to the energy that body cells need to carry out on their functions. It has nothing to do with whether you're tired or how many jumping jacks you can do. But those vitamins are so widespread in food, and people build up such sufficient stores of them, that there are probably only about 10 people in the whole United States who are actually deficient in vitamin B, says Susan Roberts, director and senior scientist at the Energy Metabolism Laboratory of the Jean Mayer USDA Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University in Boston. The bottom line? There is no credible research I'm aware of that shows that taking B vitamins will make people feel less tired or will increase their metabolism, says Dr. Roberts. This is just one example of how the whole supplement craze has gotten out of hand. Bayer says that the vitamins B6, B12, and folic acid in Centrum's multivitamins, quote, help support heart health. The company goes on to say much the same for the B vitamins in its one-a-day multis. Both companies' ad departments are apparently stuck in the 1990s. Back then, researchers had noticed that the higher levels of an amino acid called homocysteine in people's blood, the greater the risk of heart attacks. And B vitamin supplements lower homocysteine. That's all supplement makers needed to start advertising that multiple vitamins with B vitamins support heart health. But the evidence is now in, and it overwhelmingly shows that B vitamins do not do anything of the sort. In 8 trials in 5 countries from 2002 to 2008, researchers gave various combinations of vitamin B6, vitamin B12, and folic acid or a placebo to a total of more than 24,000 men and women, most of whom had cardiovascular disease. The trials lasted from 1 to 7 years and used amounts of the vitamins that ranged from 12 to 166 times the government's recommended levels, and much more than are in most multivitamins. The results were disappointing across the board, says Lydia Bazzano of the Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine in New Orleans. B vitamin takers were just as likely as placebo takers to suffer heart attacks. Homocysteine looks more like a marker than a treatment target, explains Dr. Bazzano. It increases with a higher risk of heart disease. But lowering it with B vitamins does not decrease the risk. So do not count on the other components of multivitamins to help your heart either. In the Women's Health Initiative studies, which followed more than 160,000 people for 8 years, those who reported taking multivitamins were just as likely to suffer heart attacks and strokes as those who did not take multivitamins. The bottom line? Taking vitamin B6, vitamin B12, or folic acid, either separately or in a multivitamin, will not protect your heart. TV ads for one-a-day's multivitamins for seniors boast that they contain ginkgo for memory and concentration. 12 studies have tested a daily dose of ginkgo on the memory and cognitive scales of middle-aged and older healthy adults. In 7 of them, ginkgo did nothing. That included a 2009 University of Pittsburgh trial in which 1,500 healthy men and women aged 72 to 96 took 240 milligrams of ginkgo every day for 6 years. Now that's twice as much as one a day puts in its multivitamins. It also included a 2008 Oregon State study, university trial, in 118 healthy men and women aged 85 and older who took 240 milligrams of ginkgo every day for 3.5 years, as well as a 2007 Michigan State University trial in 42 men and women aged 65 to 84 who took 160 milligrams a day for 4 months. While the other 5 trials reported at least a small effect from ginkgo, 4 of them found just one improvement among the battery of memory and cognitive tests that they administered. And what is more, none of the studies used the same memory tests, and the results from one study sometimes contradicted the results from another. Those results could have been due to chance, notes Beth Snitz, a co-author of the University of Pittsburgh study. The more tests you do, the greater the likelihood that some results will be positive, just by chance. The bottom line? Do not rely on ginkgo to help your memory. An ad says that one-a-day VitaCraves are complete adult multivitamin gummies that support immunity and energy. Yet in 5 studies in 5 countries, people who took a daily multivitamin were just as likely to get colds or other infections, just as likely to stay sick just as long, or miss out on planned activities as similar people who took a placebo. The participants ranged from 910 Scottish men and women aged 65 and older who took vitamins for 18 months to 652 Dutch men and women 60 and older who took vitamins for 15 months. The bottom line? Multivitamins are unlikely to affect immunity in well-nourished, healthy people, says Kevin High of the Wake Forest University School of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But the jury is still out on whether multivitamins benefit malnourished folks. One-a-day women's formula contains 800 international units of vitamin D. And the label claims that emerging research suggests that the daily consumption of 1,000 international units of vitamin D is associated with support of breast health. Protect your breasts with vitamin D, urges women's health guru Christiane Northrup on the Huffington Post website. This is preventive medicine at its finest, she says. Not so fast. The evidence is not strong enough to say that vitamin D prevents breast cancer, says Marjorie McCullough, an American Cancer Society epidemiologist and the lead author on two major studies of vitamin D and breast cancer. The results from laboratory and animal studies are good, but the data in humans are inconsistent. The breast cancer claim stemmed from a 2007 clinical trial at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. In that study, researchers gave roughly 1,200 healthy postmenopausal women either a placebo or 1,500 milligrams of calcium plus 1,000 international units of vitamin D every day to see if the supplements would lower the risk of fractures. Surprisingly, the calcium and D takers were 77% less likely to be diagnosed with cancer, mostly breast cancer, over the next 4 years. But the numbers were quite small. Only 7 placebo takers and 4 of the calcium D takers got breast cancer. So the difference could have happened by chance. A larger clinical trial came up empty. Among the more than 36,000 participants in the 2008 Women's Health Initiative, those who took 400 international units of vitamin D every day were no less likely to be diagnosed with breast cancer over a 7-year period as those who were given a placebo. It's possible that 400 international units of vitamin D may not be enough to produce a benefit. And many of the women in the placebo group were taking vitamin D on their own, which may have diminished the difference between them and the women who are told to take vitamin D. But vitamin D has also struck out in other types of studies. In the American Cancer Society's Cancer Prevention Study 2 Nutrition Cohort Study, for example, postmenopausal women with the highest levels of vitamin D in their blood were no less likely to be diagnosed with breast cancer over a 5-year period than those with the lowest levels of vitamin D. Larger studies and randomized controlled trials are needed to sort out some of the inconsistencies in the literature, says Dr. McCullough. The bottom line? Until better studies are done, it is not clear whether vitamin D can help prevent breast cancer. But there are other reasons for getting vitamin D, such as building stronger bones and preventing falls, says Dr. McCullough. So shoot for the 7,000 to 1,000 international units of vitamin D a day. Most multivitamins have 400 international units. Expect only 40 to 150 international units in most foods that are fortified with vitamin D. The website for Centrum Ultra Women's Multivitamin claims that biotin helps maintain healthy skin, hair, and nails. To study biotin deficiencies, Researchers feed people half a pound of dried raw egg whites every day for several weeks to several months to deprive their bodies of biotin by binding up all the B vitamin. When they do that, the volunteer's hair thins and loses its color, and their skin develops red, scaly rashes. According to biotin researcher Donald Mock of the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences in Little Rock. These people also suffer from depression, loss of appetite, hallucinations, lethargy, tingling in their hands and feet, and muscle pain. Restoring biotin to their diets reverses the thinning hair and skin rashes. But unless you have a bizarre craving for raw egg whites, there is no credible evidence that taking biotin will do anything for your hair or skin. Biotin deficiencies are quite rare. This B vitamin is found in most foods, and the bacteria in our intestinal tract churn out a steady supply of biotin. As for your nails, the biotin deficiency experiments did not see any impact. But 20 years ago, researchers funded by a Swiss vitamin maker gave a huge amount of biotin, that is 2,500 micrograms a day, to 8 women with brittle, splitting, or soft fingernails. Now that 2,500 micrograms a day of biotin is more than 80 times the amount of biotin in Centrum's multivitamins. And after 9 months, the thickness of the women's nails increased by an average of 25%. And 4 of the 8 women had less or no nail splitting. But there was no control group that was given a placebo, so there was no way to tell whether the women's nails would have improved without biotin. The bottom line, the biotin in multivitamins is unlikely to do anything for your hair, skin, or nails. In the August segment of Nutrition News, I reported about ways that you may lower your risk of developing breast cancer. And as a follow-up to that report, I'd now like to mention several foods, nutrients, and contaminants that might play a role in breast cancer risk. Early studies suggested that women who consume more folate, largely from fruits, vegetables, and beans, had a lower risk of breast cancer, especially if the women drank alcohol regularly. Then came a hint that women who got high levels of folate, that is more than 400 micrograms a day, women who got more than 400 micrograms a day of folate from multivitamins might have a slightly higher risk of breast cancer. But researchers were reassured when breast cancer rates did not budge in women who got a huge dose of folate, that is 2,500 micrograms a day, for 7 years. The European Prospective Investigation into Cancer and Nutrition tracked more than 142,000 men and 335,000 women living in 10 countries for more than 8 years. The results, no lower risk of breast cancer among women who ate more fruits and vegetables. If there's a relationship, it is quite weak, says Harvard's Dr. Walter Willett. Although women with high insulin levels have a higher risk of breast cancer, women with high blood sugar levels do not seem to have a higher risk of breast cancer. Similarly, in the Cancer Prevention Study 2 Nutrition Cohort, which tracked more than 63,000 postmenopausal women for 5 years, and in a meta-analysis of six other studies, a diet rich in foods that raise blood sugar levels had no impact on breast cancer risk. It is difficult to measure glycemic index because diet is such a complex beast, notes Mark Gunther of the Albert Einstein School of Medicine in New York. But we do not think blood sugar is the causative agent. So far, we do not have good evidence on pesticides, notes Dr. Willett of Harvard. The initial papers suggesting that DDE residues might be related to breast cancer were tiny and not very good, and the link has not been confirmed in larger studies. For example, in 2001, when researchers pooled the results of five large studies, they found no link between blood levels of the synthetic pesticide DDT or DDE, which the body makes from DDT, in adult women. We do not have good data on levels in adolescents, but it's almost a non-issue because levels have gone down so much in the United States, Dr. Willett adds. Most studies find little or no link between breast cancer and red meat or overcooked meat. There is some evidence that red meat consumption during early adult life and adolescence is related to an increased risk of breast cancer, notes Dr. Willett. But only a small number of studies have looked at that, so I would not put cutting back on red meat on the list as something that will reliably reduce the risk of breast cancer. On the other hand, he says, it's a good idea to replace some red meat with nuts, beans, chicken, or fish, anyway, from the standpoint of diabetes and coronary heart disease risk. At this point, we cannot be confident that soy would reduce the risk of breast cancer either, says Dr. Willett of Harvard. In fact, scientists had feared that soy might boost the risk of breast cancer or of a recurrence in women who already have the disease. But those fears have recently subsided. In September, the Shanghai Breast Cancer Survival Study found a 30% lower risk of recurrence of breast cancer in women who consumed at least 11 grams of soy protein a day. The risk did not drop further in women who got more than 11 grams a day. Our data in Asian American women suggests that soy intake, particularly during childhood, might lower risk, says the National Cancer Institute's Regina Ziegler. But those studies which require women to remember what they ate years earlier may be less reliable than studies in which women report their current diet. And regardless of age, the potential benefits are confined to soy foods, not supplements, says the National Cancer Institute's Rachel Ballard Barbish. Studies testing isoflavones from soy have largely come up empty. Well, folks, we've reached the conclusion of this month's segment of Nutrition News. Please join me at the same time next month. I'm Ann Weller, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. It is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next month.